All right, text in. What are you petty about? We do the Tuesday Pettycast each and every week. I'll give you one thing right now. They're doing a question on TV right now on ESPN. The question on Get Up is, who do you have in the NFC, Eagles or the field? The field meaning the other 15 teams in the NFC.
The answer is always the field.
Always the field. Like a good team, a great team has like a 25% chance of winning their conference.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like I hate the people that don't look at gambling odds, write these questions. I'm like, who do I take? If I say the Eagles, then I'm the dumbest person. Even if I like the Eagles.
Right.
I'm really stupid.
Even if you think the Eagles are the best team this century.
Yes.
It's the field.
It's always
the field.
That should be the most boring question ever. It's always the field.
For the entire league, a championship. Different if you go within divisions or something.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. No, I think the AFC South, you can make an argument. It's Texans versus the field, something like that this year. You know, they're like a coin flip to win the division. They got a 50% chance. All right, Pettycast, let's do this here. First one, Chandler Rome. Chandler Rome on his one of the athletic podcasts, the Foul Territory podcast. He was on there with AJ Pruszynski, and they were talking about Astro injuries last week after the Ronel Blanco news came down. And I think Chandler actually sums up petty for a lot of us here when it comes to how the Astros handle their injury news.
I'm not here like seeking like medical records of players. Like, I don't want to know what medicines they're on. I don't want, like, we're not asking for much here, but the clarity that they provide is non-existent. And the prognoses they give is usually it exceeds what they say, or it's not all the way true. Like, the lack of just alignment and communication has been something that has now spanned three general managers. It spanned three field managers. So this is not something that is new this year. It's something that has been for a while. The Tucker contusion thing, I mean, at the end of the day, like, it got to be where like they were making him look bad because like fans thought he was out for 3.5 months with a bruise. When, you know, I talked to doctors, I wrote a story where I quoted like four orthopedic surgeons who said like, yeah, you know, it's possible to be out for four. These things can take this long to heal for a bone bruise, but it's not that common. And come to find out, there was a fracture in there.
Okay. I think, Chandler, I think you are appropriately petty there because I'm petty about this. I think a lot of Astro fans, very petty about the way that the team handles injuries and the lack of clarity.
It does lead you to wonder exactly why are they so opaque about it. And I wonder if it's simply like one extra competitive advantage. And it might seem trivial and it might seem stupid. But remember, these baseball teams calculate getting a little edge as, hey, this is worth an extra third of a win every 3 years.
Yeah.
Like, it's that they get that finite with it that they might feel like, man, playing it close to the vest as much as possible for as long as possible just keeps people guessing in trade discussions, anything else. I don't know. It is weird because it does almost, it's starting to feel like it's like you're flipping off the fan base at times. It's a sly, like, yeah. Remember, they were saying that Javier was making progress right up until they announced that he was getting Tommy John surgery.
Right.
It's very frustrating.
Right.
It's one thing if you don't tell us anything, but then like to dangle out hope and then, oh no, by the way, no, he and Luis Garcia are getting Tommy John surgery together. They're going to hold hands the entire
time. Yeah. Like, why are they doing this? You know what? I was unfair to Chandler there. Chandler and us, we're not being petty. The Astros are being petty by just for no reason withholding information from all of us.
Yeah.
Like, why are you doing it? Because we can. Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. All right. To be clear, they've never said that, but that's what it feels like for sure.
It does set you up, though, because every time you hear about elbow discomfort and it doesn't end up being something tragic, then you're that much more excited
for
it.
Okay. When has that happened? I'm still waiting.
It's happened before.
Has it? Okay.
Yeah. I think Dubin had discomfort.
Did he? Okay.
Yeah.
That's one.
I don't know.
Yeah. All right. Colin Cowherd speaking out. This is last week. In the aftermath of the Caitlin Clark Angel Reese situation, you know, the hard foul on Angel Reese, this is true. This is the case with a lot of sports that are not mainstream. There are fans, longtime fans of those sports, that get very protective of the sport. Even when new fans are coming to the arena, it's almost like, well, I'll let Colin Cowherd state the case right here.
There's these people who are fans of indie bands, international soccer, and the WNBA. They have this gatekeeping mentality. We'll tell you who's great. Colin, I was watching the WNBA long before Caitlin Clark. Well, yeah, it's not my problem your social life was boring. I'm not going to apologize for watching it when it got really interesting.
Okay, so that was, I am with him on this. Gatekeeper fans of sports are very annoying.
Yeah.
You know, like the ones that they don't want, it's almost like they don't want their sport or activity to become incredibly popular.
They were, yeah, you know, it's like the analogy he brought up of the independent band, you know, the guys that like, they only liked that band before they went commercial or whatever. I've been here forever. It's a natural human tendency. I think the biggest thing, because I would say when the Tebow mania was going on, the NFL was not a fringe sport at all. But when it brought so many people into the conversation that didn't have a single clue what they were talking about, then it gets annoying.
Yeah.
So I will stand with the very petty gatekeepers of the WNBA.
You will, okay.
Yes, okay. Yes. Okay. Not as somebody that's actually followed the WNBA, but who supports their pettiness, Sean. I will support their pettiness. Like, no, we enjoy games where there's only 2,000 people in attendance, damn it.
Do you have an activity or a sport or a certain genre of entertainment that you like, that you gatekeep or...
don't want other people dipping into?
Or it would be... Like, for me, it's easy. Like, WWE would be one for me that would be lined up to be gatekeeping for, but I'm not that way. I like it when new people... Like, I loved when you came to the wrestling matches with me. I thought that was awesome. That was fun. But do you have anything that you...
Politics. There was a time where I felt like I could kind of sit back and read the paper with my reading glasses on while I smoked a pipe and would just think things out through long and thoughtful discourse.
Now it's not that way anymore.
A lot now of that people are actually participating in the political process.
A lot
process.
Of new fans have come to
it's
the
a
arena.
Lot, yeah.
Yeah. Someone on the text page says, Petty, I'm sick of this whole Caitlin Clark, Angel Reese narrative. Made it simple. Ask my wife, who is aware of sports, who is Caitlin Clark? Basketball was her response. Who is Angel Reese? Who is she? Was her response.
Mm-hmm.
So there you go. There you go. All right, Aaron Rodgers. I feel like he could be in the Pettycast every week if we tried hard enough to find material. He was at a live podcast, the You Never Know podcast. It's with a rapper. I don't recall his name. But it was an outdoor kind of stage, and he's doing Q&A with a lot of fans. And this first one's not super petty. It's just kind of funny. This is, and kind of sheds a little bit of a clue on what he may be thinking football wise. This is a young female fan, probably looked to be early teens, asking, will you ever play for the Bears?
Will Aaron Rodgers ever go to the Bears?
Oh boy. Security, can we get her out of here? I need some security.
Can you take it easy on her? On this one?
No, but I believe there's a team that might play in Chicago this year.
What's
a road
team?
Trip. I don't know. I'm not sure. Gotta check it out.
Are you speaking in code?
I love Chicago, though. Way more than they love me. It's been a great relationship, all one way.
Okay, so that was. We have more Aaron Rodgers here in a second.
So,
he trolls
the Steelers. Steelers being a team that play them on the road.
Yeah.
The fact that he knew that he knew their schedule and had thought about that at least. That seems like the simplest thing in the world, and yet it somehow makes it feel more real that he's serious about going to the Steelers.
I think it makes it. I was always surprised. Any NFL player I've talked to about knowing the schedule or the schedule release. They've always come off way more disengaged from the schedule in the upcoming season than the fans are. You know, like I'm sitting here talking to a former player, so I don't know how you felt about the schedule. Like, how much did you know the Jags or Texans schedule when you were on those teams during training camp and stuff? Did you have certain
games? Yeah, I knew them. I knew those pretty well.
Did you? Yeah.
Yeah, I'd been looking about it, thinking about it, obsessing about it, Sean.
Obsessing.
Voodoo dolls, all that stuff. Yeah.
Well, that it would be the Steelers whose schedule he would know, I think, is probably somewhat significant. No, not much petty in that cut. Let's take a listen to this one. This is Aaron Rodgers trolling a Bears fan.
I was born and raised in Chicago, so as a Bears fan, I want to ask how much you...
Go ahead.
Contemplated retirement. You know, you play golf. Play more golf, man. You don't have to sign anywhere. Just, you know, take it easy.
You want him out? You want him gone?
Best, best off the greener pastures.
I'm guessing you're like the normal Bears fan. The best thing about Bears fans is every year this is our year. This is our year.
One.
We added this guy and that guy, and oh, and we got a new coach from Detroit. Yeah. Oh, man. Look out.
This is it.
Right? Packers fans, we know that, right? And what does every coach since signs of the Bears say? We got to beat the Packers, right?
Yeah.
Packers don't give a shit.
Okay.
Packers don't even think of you.
Yeah.
The Lion does not concern itself.
It's a rivalry if both teams think of each other. This is not a rivalry to us. You're just one of 31 is all you are, Bears.
Yeah.
Suck on that.
Getting himself back in good graces with Packers fans for potentially in the, you know, whatever
the one-day contract. Yeah.
Brett Favre, you got to hit that sweet spot, you know, where the bad feelings after your retirement have started to wane, but before you've been wrapped up in public scandal.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if Favre had waited a couple more years to reconcile with the Packers, it might not have all worked out. But he hit the sweet spot.
He did.
Rodgers got to start planning for that sometime before the age of 50.
I was, not to get too far on a tangent, about the Favre documentary. You and I talked about it back in the 6 o'clock hour. Seth and I both watched the Fall of Favre documentary yesterday. It's only an hour long. I would say it's worth watching. They're very dissimilar in many ways, Aaron Rodgers and Brett Favre. And yet there's a ton of similarities too, just based on like how engaged both of them seem to want to be in the off season with all the OTAs and minicamp. Like Favre, I don't know. I just came away watching that thing and man, these two are, they're very similar, and the results were very similar in the end in that the departures were very acrimonious. You know, like in the end, the divorces. I just thought for two guys whose personalities couldn't seem more dissimilar, you got Favre, the gunslinger country hick, and you got Aaron Rodgers, who's, you know, the granola crunchy, you know, Silicon Valley, Bay Area, you know, Cal guy, that how they viewed the importance of football in their lives I thought was somewhat similar based on that documentary.
Yeah. I think the biggest thing for me is that just Green Bay turns quarterbacks into weirdos. I think that there's such a, being such a big fish in a very, very, very small pond.
Yeah.
And to the point where it probably just screws up your entire perspective on everything.
Yeah.
I think it's, I feel like you're all but destined. If Jordan Love makes it as a Green Bay quarterback, he's also going to be an extreme weirdo by the end of it.
Keep an eye on Jordan Love. Did you see the video of Jordan Love throwing out the first pitch at a Brewers game?
Oh, no, you sent it to me and I didn't watch it. Was it bad?
I'll let you be the judge.
Was it bad because of the actual, was it the process or was it just a wild throw that got away from
it? It ended up going over the plate. I'll let you take
it. But it just looks janky.
There's a link to it in
Charles Barkley.
There's a link to it in the rundown right there in this segment right here, because I was going to bring it up in this segment. Yeah, you can take a look at it. Take a look at it while I play Stan Van Gundy. This is just some good old-fashioned chirping about refereeing by a Van Gundy. I just needed this in my life. Stan Van Gundy being petty about the officiating down the stretch in Game 3 of the Knicks and the Pacers.
There's a whistle. Yeah, but at 9.7.
But
are
you the Knicks,
kidding?
You'll live with that if you're the Knicks, though, because this is only 2 versus 3. So now you send Halliburton.
I understand, but I'd rather have no call. And I don't get this. The way they have called the game throughout the playoffs and tonight.
Oh, you're saying
that's
a foul?
Call. Foul?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's a foul? That's a foul in the 2025 playoffs?
Bridges can't believe it as well.
Well, what have I been watching that would make that a foul call?
I just needed a Van Gundy complaining about officiating in my life. That's all. Felt like this is a good place to park it.
No, you know what? Sandman takes too many shots at Houston. I vaguely recall him taking a shot at the Astros at some point, making a cheap, stupid trash can joke.
I think he did. Yeah.
I got no love. That's the two brothers. I always try to remember whenever I'm meeting with a sibling of a person who I despise. I might despise that the sibling, but I got to give this guy a chance.
Can't hold
just
it against
like there's
them.
Stan Van Gundy and Jeff Van Gundy.
Yep.
One I despise, one I think is one of my all-time favorite people in sports. Yeah.
I saw that you clicked on the video. What did you think of Jordan?
I thought it looked like he was trying to throw a football. He's just kind of used the ball got over the plate.
Yeah.
Had a nice, threw it with a lot of touch.
Yeah.
It was like he was thrown into a defensive end who was playing tight end on the goal line. It's just like, or an offensive, a tackle eligible where you just got to be sure you don't throw it too hard for the fella.
I tried, as I'm looking at that, I'm like, all right, I don't want to be too critical. Of course, I did retweet it and say, this is an NFL quarterback. I did do that on social media. But after I tweeted that, didn't delete the tweet, but I did remember like, oh yeah, CJ threw out a first pitch at an Astros game last year and didn't look like your classic thrower of a baseball. CJ Stroud as well threw the ball like a quarterback would throw the ball. So I didn't want to be hypercritical of it. You know, I didn't like the fact that Jordan Love lobbed it way up in the air. I mean, put a little mustard
safe route
on it. Yeah, yeah,
yeah. You're supposed to be living up to the image of Favre, okay?
Yeah, man.
Oh, you just do everything exactly the same way Brett Favre did it if you want to be successful, son.
Up to and including how funds get dispersed in Mississippi.
Yes.
Never mind. No,
Jordan Love played. He did play baseball as a youth up through middle school.
Okay.
So it's not like some of these, more and more, it's more common that you get a lot of NFL players that never played baseball at all.
Yeah.
And we saw, you know, Will Anderson would own that, that he doesn't know how to swing a bat, you know?
Okay.
These guys just don't, they haven't been exposed to it. But Jordan Love has been exposed to it, and yet he went up there and threw it like a football.
That was J.J. Watt's softball game, right? That Will,
I think so, yeah.
Dude, I was there. What I loved about Will is that it was clear during batting practice that he had never swung a baseball bat, or at least had very rarely swung a baseball bat, and yet he volunteered to be in the home run derby, which I thought was awesome. Like, he was horrible, and it was great, and he's awesome. Yeah.
He knows so little about baseball that he didn't even know to be embarrassed by how bad he was at baseball.
Right.
You know?
I don't know that he gets embarrassed about anything. Like, I'm just so happy all the time.
Well, no, and it's a different mindset, though, too. Like, when we were growing up, like, it would be, if you didn't know how to play baseball, it's a big obstacle in your social life, you know?
Yeah.
That was what everybody did all day long.
Yep.
And now it's just, it's not that way.
No.
I think, like, just kids are so far removed from it being, because, you know, like, I don't know if they even go out and play in the neighborhood anymore.
I don't either,
I haven't seen it in forever.
Every day.
Last time I saw, like, some 12-year-olds out at the school fields messing around with no parents around, or in a backyard with no parents around playing baseball. And believe me, I've peeked over a lot of fences. Is that Seth Payne in our bat? Why? He's fine. Don't worry about him. He's just a little kooky.
Oh my God. Text message.
When I take my ice cream truck around the neighborhood, I look hard.
Through my binoculars.
I'm finding anybody. Yeah.
I pull up in my ice cream truck, I whip out my binoculars.
You kids want ice cream from a stranger?
Hello?
How can I interest you in you guys ever play stickball?
Candy? Stickball. Someone says, no, y'all are being petty because who cares? The Astros are a winning organization. That's fine if you feel that way, I suppose. If you don't want clarity, then the clarity on the end, we're being petty about the Astros being clandestine about all the injury stuff. Yeah, we're the petty ones. Fine. As long as somebody's being petty, that's what this segment is for. All right, keep sending your... keep sending your texts in, 713-572-4610.
Wait, can you read that text again?
Sure. No, y'all are being petty because who cares? The Astros are a winning organization.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. So
I don't know. Yeah, listen, I don't – the Astros being a winning organization, this is where that falls flat, all right? The Astros have also been to 4 World Series. Have they won all of those World Series? No. They've been to the ALCS 7 straight times. Did they go to the World Series every single one of those times? No.
No.
So at what point do you stop tweaking and being persnickety about things?
Yes.
Like, you can always listen, listener. I fear that you have succumbed to a meek outlook on life. You can always ask for and demand more, okay?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The Astros could be undefeated right now. Be undefeated right now. And I would be grousing about something.
Yes.
So you will never, ever, ever, ever shut me down by saying, well, that's a good team, we won't worry about them. Do you think the coaches and front offices of various great teams around sports come to work every morning and say, steady as she goes, we've had some success, so not gonna change a damn thing.
Yep.
No, never accept that.
No.
I worry for you, dear texter, that you have put limits on yourself in this life.
I'll give
always whine more.
I'll give you his number. You can get in touch with him. You guys can have a nice chat. Last one here. I hope Stroud is one day as petty as Rodgers, but it's towards the Colts. CJ is already. Remember, he's been caught multiple times saying things about the Colts on his little documentary. He talked about how Indy was kind of a trash city.
Trash city.
Yeah,
if he had gone to a trash city like Indianapolis, he might not have been as happy.
Jay Reed says the 9-year-old in his car is cracking up at Seth's creeper jokes and the ice cream truck joke.
Oh,
you're hitting big with the 9-year-old, Seth. Just like you wanted to in your ice cream truck.
This is steadily turning less and less funny.
Good job. That's, yeah. All right. Speaking of the Astros.
Let me speak for a sponsor now.
This is what it looks like coming up for the next 25 games. If you're an Astros fan, this is the time to make some hay here in the standings. Or is it based on recent years with the Astros? We'll talk about that coming up next.